Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Timothy. I think it's 2 Timothy. It is 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I'm going to be all over the chapter today, but I want to read one verse of Scripture just for the text this morning, and that would be verse number 15, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse number 15. The Word of God said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If God will help me today, I want to preach on this subject, back to school. I thought about our children. They get a little break, and it seems like the break is getting smaller and smaller. I can't remember who I was discussing it with yesterday morning, but when I was in school, we never went back to school till after Labor Day. And I'll be honest with you. You might not like what I'm going to say, but I believe our government would like to have them every day. I believe they'd like to steal what we're trying to instill in them. I believe they'd like to have them every day. But they're going back to school, and I thought about this thought. You know, when we're born again, when we're saved by the grace of God, the only way to get out of school is to graduate. And it ain't going to be long, Brother Gale. Amen. And we'll graduate. And when we graduate, we're not going to walk across the stage and get a cap and gown. We're not going to get men's applause. But God's children are going to walk by the throne. They're going to get a robe. And if they've been a workman for God, amen, then they'll not have to be ashamed. They can hold their head up, amen. Because of the Savior. I wanted to look at this chapter this morning and give you a few things. And by doing so, I want to encourage our... I'm 55 years old, and the word kid don't bother me. I believe it, Brother Larry, that says often to me, "Hello, young man." And I say often to him, "Say that again." Amen. But I want to encourage our kids as they go back to school, and I want to look in this chapter and I believe give you some things that will be a help to all of us. I was thinking about my dad as I was preparing or preparing to preach the message this morning, and thinking about all the things that my dad has taught me in life. He used to have an old Ford pickup truck, and I mean, back then a tune-up consisted of plugs. And about every other year, probably plug wires. You could get by without the wires every year. It consisted of plugs and points and a condenser and a rotor button. And sometimes a distributor cap. Most time that didn't get replaced till the wires got replaced. And I can remember so well sitting on the fender. Can you imagine raising the hood and being able to set an 8 and 10-year-old boy on the fender inside now under the hood and work on a motor? Wouldn't that be a blessing again? Say amen. You open it now and it looks like every hornet in Bloomingdale built a nest under there. Amen. There's no room for anything else. I was thinking about my dad, thinking about what he's going through. And he may be fixing to graduate. He may be fixing to go home. I told someone down at the hospital, and I've told others, you know, there's fixing to be a reunion. And the Lord may call my dad home. Dad may live many years. I don't know. But I know this. I know where he's going when he leaves this world. Amen. And I know I'll get to go and be with him one day after a while. I want to read something to you this morning. I believe this is important. I thought it fit in with a message on back to school. Admiral Hyman G. Rickover. And I was wondering if Rickover had a comb over, but I'm not sure. Amen. But the father of the nuclear submarine, he was skeptical of the business school graduates. Having interviewed some 14,000 of them over a period of years, he found them fluent in the jargon of systems analysis, financial manipulation, and quantitative management, whatever that is. But he claimed that they just don't know the score. He felt most of them had an unrealistic impression of what is involved in business and little appreciation of the importance of technical knowledge, experience, and hard work. What it takes to do the job will not be learned from management courses, said Hyman Rickover. It is principally a matter, listen carefully, this is why I read the whole thing to read this statement. It is principally a matter of experience, the proper attitude, and common sense, none of which can be taught in a classroom. I say this morning. I've stopped to thank God this morning for our youngins. I want to stop and thank God for our seniors. They have something that cannot be taught in a classroom. They have experience, and they have wisdom, and they know the Lord, and they're just as important. And I do thank God that we have both. We have youngins, and we have seniors, and we have a Bible, and we are still in school. Say amen. And God wants to teach us from the Word of God. I know that one of the greatest expenses when you talk about school, one of the greatest expenses are the textbooks that you have to buy to go to school. And I'm going to tell you this, there's a big price being paid for our textbook. Say amen right there. This is life instruction, and it's good for all of us to learn from. I thought about this. I'll give you three verses quickly. And as our children go back to school and as you and I go through life, these three verses, I believe, will help us in the importance of trying to get and glean what God would have us from chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians 10:31 said, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know something? That would have helped me in school if I would have been a Christian and been doing everything that I knew to do in school to the glory of God. By the way, in the school of life, in the school of Christianity, if you and I are saved by the grace of God, amen, that will help us as well to do all to the glory of God. The second verse that came to my mind, now listen, this really would have hit home with me when I was in school. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Amen. How many murmured a little bit in school? How many murmured a whole lot in school? Amen. How many's murmuring a little bit in the school of life? Say amen right there. Amen. But the Bible said do all things without murmuring and disputing. And then in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. I believe that changed the way we go through school. Amen. If we realize, Lord, we didn't just pray, hallelujah, help me, amen. We didn't just pray because we wanted to get a good grade, but we prayed because we wanted to do the best we could for the glory of God, amen. And I believe that would be a blessing. Do it heartily as unto God and not unto men. You say, preacher, what do you see in this school? In chapter number 2 of the book of 2 Timothy. Well, there's several things, just three. I wouldn't get too excited, but there's three things I want to concentrate on in the school as we go back to school. Number one, it's a school of grace. It's a school of grace. I thought about this, Brother Johnny, as you did a great job yesterday talking to our young people. It's the grace of God that they're not Satanists. It's the grace of God that I'm not off in some cult or some sideways religion. I'm glad that I had a mom and dad And even though they weren't living for God, they knew the right way. They knew the Bible was the truth. Amen. They didn't mind me going down there to that Baptist church and having a Sunday school teacher that would instill in me the Word of God. I can remember as a kid when Mama said, "Honey, God's not hearing Mama's prayer right now, but if you'll pray, He'll hear your prayer." Mama knew. Listen, that's something that's lost in this generation. You show me somebody that'll admit that they can't get a prayer through because of the way they're living in this generation that we're living in. But Mama knew it. Mama knew she'd be, the Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But Mama had confidence that if a little 5-year-old boy would talk to Jesus about how his ears were hurting and about how that he was suffering, how that he couldn't sleep at night, and Mama would heat them diapers on the stove. Listen, you say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" I'm just trying to say, I thank God it's a school of grace. I'm in this school by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God I was raised by a mother and a father that knew the Bible was the Word of God. Amen. Look what the Bible said. Well, glory to God. Look at verse 1. "There thou therefore, my son." This is Paul talking to young Timothy. And I'll just throw this out there. My middle name's Timothy. I don't think Mama had a clue that I'd be a preacher. But I think sometimes God has clues before we have clues. Say amen. And he said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." I tell you, you say, "Preacher, I'm doing pretty good in this school." I tell you one thing right now, if you are, amen, you are by the grace of God. Amen. It's by the grace you are of God you are what you are. It's by the grace of God I am what I am. And my friend, listen, to do well in this Christian school and to do well, my friend, in school and do it to the glory of God, it will be by the grace of the living God. He said, "Be strong in the grace." Let me say three things quickly this morning about this school of grace. He said here, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses," the next verse, "the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." I think this is something that's lost in the school. Let me give you three things quickly. Number one, it's personal. The school of grace is personal. He said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" He said, "Thou therefore, my son." This was not addressed, amen, just to the everybody out there in a generality. Paul said, "Listen, I'm your daddy in the faith, and I got something to say to you, and I want to say it on a personal level. You're my son." Amen. I tell you what, I'm going to go see my dad, God willing, Tuesday. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking very forward to it. I just hope he's able to sit up a while, stay up a while. And if he ain't, I may just sit there and listen to him sleep. Amen. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" He can say, "Son," to me, because it's personal. I'll tell you something right now. When God saved me and put me in the family, it was personal. Amen. It was one-on-one. It was one thing to know that God so loved the world. But thank God that night it was the fact that God so loved me, a sinner, that he would die on an old rugged cross and give his life for me. It was personal. By the grace of God, I got in this school. It's personal. By the way, the judgment seat of Christ will be personal. Think about that for just a minute. Brother Lowell said something to me a while back about the judgment seat of Christ. He knows, listen, he's not going to stand there for pastor. Pastor's not going to stand there for him. I'm not going to stand there for my youngins, and my youngins are not going to stand there for me. I'm telling you, every one of us that are saved by the grace of God will stand on a personal one-on-one basis before the King of Glory and give an account of how we've lived our lives since we've been saved by the grace of God. The school of grace is personal. But then I want to give you this. The school of grace is powerful. It's powerful. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" He said, "Be strong." You know what? Let me just say this. This morning. I'm going to try to say it in a kind way. But you don't want to know why that our churches are full of weak believers? They dropped out of school. They dropped out of school. My brother made a statement years ago, and I never have forgotten it. I don't know if it's original with him, but he's the one I heard say it. He said, it's what you learn after you know it all that really counts. A whole lot of people go to church and they fold their arms, amen, like, bless God, that preacher can't teach me anything. This preacher may not be able to, but if you listen to a verse of Scripture every once in a while, I guarantee you that Bible can teach every one of us, amen. We're not there yet. We haven't arrived yet. And Paul said to Timothy, be strong, son, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a powerful life, amen. The school is personal. It's powerful. Be strong in the grace. And then I want to give you this. This school is practical. I believe this one truth right here could change Bloomingdale. If everybody in this room realized you don't come to church, you don't come to Sunday school, just to learn the Word of God for you. We're supposed to learn the Word of God, brother, the truths of God's Word. We're supposed to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and then we're supposed to pass it on, commit it to other men. How many believes that's the truth? Amen. That's what it said right there. He said, listen, Timothy, don't you just get knowledge and don't you just learn in this school of grace. Don't you just learn so you can swell up like a toad frog. But listen, what I'm teaching you, son, go out there and commit it to somebody else, that they might be used of God for God's glory. I've often said this, and I think it's a great illustration. The Dead Sea is dead because it has an inlet. The Jordan River runs into it. The Jordan River is beautiful. The Jordan River is alive. The Jordan River is flowing. But I tell you what, you get to the end of the Jordan River, and then you've got the Dead Sea. Because it has an inlet, but it has no outlet. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen, as a Christian, we're drying up on the vine and we're dying on God if all we have is an inlet. All we have is an inlet and we don't have an outlet. Listen, there ought to be somebody going to work. There ought to be somebody going to school. As some of these young people going to school this week ought to be sharing something that Brother Rick taught them in Sunday school this morning. They ought to be sharing something that Brother Johnny taught them last night. They ought to be sharing something. They ought to be excited about it. You say, preacher, you can't expect that of young people. I'll tell you what I believe. If they're in the school of grace, you can. If they've been saved by the grace of God, you can. And you can expect that of parents. You can expect that of grandparents. That's what this thing is all about. Not just for us to swell up with knowledge and swell up, but listen, to pass it on and be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. Listen, I believe in the school of grace. It's personal. I believe it's powerful. And I believe it's practical. Not only is it a school of grace, but I want to begin in this morning. It's a school for good soldiers. It's a school for good soldiers. I want you to think about these words. The Bible said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Listen. There's a school of grace. Back to school. There's a school for good soldiers. The first thing that Timothy is told here by the Apostle Paul is endure hardness. I have a truth that's really boiled up inside of me this week. It has really boiled up inside of me this week. I've never heard anybody say it exactly like Brother Mitchell said it this week in revival. It's been a blessing to me. I've always believed, I've always preached that there's a balance in life. If you get out of balance, amen, you get out of whack. If it's all fun and there's no business end of it, amen, then it's out of balance. But I'm going to say this, you might not like it. If it's all business end and there's no enjoyment, you'll get out of balance. I believe a lot of men have burned out. Are you listening to me? Because they didn't have an outlet. They didn't have something they liked to do. I was telling them last night, that one preacher, he said, I do not play golf. And he said, I'm not against golf. But he said, the reason I don't play golf is they never mow the grass where I play. Amen. He stayed over there in the rough and never been able to hit it down through there straight the way he's supposed to. Amen. But Brother Mitchell said something that really blessed my heart, and I believe it needs to be interjected right here. And that is this. He said, listen, the Bible said lovers of pleasure. Listen, more than lovers of God. You take a man that, listen, you can love to have a good time and everybody's got their own good time. First thing I did with the kids yesterday, we sat down and we talked to them a little bit and said, listen, what we're about to do may not be for everybody. Everybody don't like this. You're no less of a person if you don't enjoy it, if you don't like it. Amen. And no more of a person if you do. We've got to figure this out. Everybody's different. Aren't you glad some preachers act like everybody ought to be just like them? I thank my God everybody ain't just like me. I know me better than you do. Amen. I thank God everybody ain't just like me. We're supposed to be trying to be like Jesus, not like one another. Amen. But listen, the Bible said endure hardness as a good soldier. I believe this endure hardness here is kind of a picture of basic training. That fellow, when he signs up with the Army or signs up with the Marines, reminds me of a young man one time. He told his daddy, said, I'm sick and tired of your rules. I'm sick and tired of all these chores. I'm going to join the Marines. Amen. I'll tell you, I believe that was a rude awakening. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, I want me some liberty. Yeah, he went and joined the Marines. Amen. But listen to me on this basic training thing here. They, even in basic training, have to give them a little time off once in a while where they can go blow off some steam, where they can go, amen, and just get away from the training. But the training's hard. There's a lot of things hard in the training. They may not understand, why do we have to run so long? Why do we have to run so far? Why do we have to run so hard? Why do we have to carry 90 pounds on our back while we're doing it? I'll tell you why. It's because there's a war. Amen? And when you get called into the war, there's no more time for training. Can I tell you this? Listen to me carefully. If you don't hear anything else I've said about this school, we're in a battle. We're in a battle for these youngins. We're in a battle for our teens. We're in a battle for our children. We're in a battle for our marriages. We're in a battle for this community. We're in a battle in this country. I'm telling you, things are being decided every day that's taking us down the wrong road. We're in a battle. It's war. And Paul said, Timothy, endure hardness, son. There are going to be some hard knocks in this school of grace. As a good soldier, endure hardness. He said this, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I liken that to the basic training. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I've never been a soldier in the Army or the Navy or the Marines or the Air Force in the United States Army. I've never been a soldier. One reason is a back injury. Another reason is my birth date. I didn't have to sign up for the draft, so to speak, and I didn't. Amen, sign up for the draft, but I hurt my back at a very young age, and they wouldn't have had me anyway. Amen, but I just want to say this. I do know what it is to be a soldier in God's army. Listen to me carefully. I'm telling you, when the endure hardness is not all basic training. Can I tell you that when you're laying in a foxhole, and you look over there and your buddy didn't respond because he just took a bullet. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, that's hard. That's got to be hard. I'm telling you, in the ministry, when you get in God's army and you get in God's family and somebody goes down, somebody goes AWOL, somebody goes out there in the world, amen, and brings disgrace to the army, brings disgrace to the Lord. I'm telling you, it's hard. And my friend, sometimes it's somebody that we have the utmost confidence in. And if we're not careful, we'll forget about the school of grace and forget about, listen, then it's not a picnic, but it's a war. And there's some hard things going to happen to us in life. Amen. Paul said, Timothy, in this school of grace, he said, there's a war. There's a battle. Endure hardness. Now watch this morning. I'm going to give you a couple more things and we'll shut it down for this morning. Come back tonight on back to school. Verse number 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Not only is this man supposed to endure hardness, But this man is not to be tangled up. Now listen to me carefully. How many of you all have ever been tangled up? The girls here, Martha and Esther, I was back there and behind the farm and went hunting one morning. And I decided that I would walk without a flashlight, that I would be less disturbing to what might be going on around me. And just under the leaves was a piece of an old barbed wire fence. And Brother Tim, I got my feet hung in that thing, and I fell like a tree trunk right flat on my face. I don't believe I've ever been hit that hard in my chest in all my life. It knocked a breath out of me. I'm going to tell you something right now. When you are saved by the grace of God and you're walking with God through this life, there's some things that will just knock a breath out of you. There's some things, my friend, listen, you get your feet tangled up, and if you're not careful, if you're not very, very, very careful, you'll not see that you can even get up and go on another mile. I was thinking about, as we were meeting there at the house, and I looked down there knowing what the Lord was going to have me to preach this morning, thinking about this. My son, years ago, we had a track hoe that sat in the road. And the track hoe reached over in that pond and scooped the muck out of it, scooped the dirt out of it, cleaning it out, put it in a dump truck, scooped, but he couldn't reach the far side. He didn't have enough reach to reach over there. And so I had this brilliant idea. I said, what I'll do is I'll get that muck over here somewhere where that guy can reach it. Amen. I got me a 55-gallon drum, a plastic one. I tied me some big heavy-duty rope to it. Are you listening this morning? And I told my son it was tied to the four-wheeler. I said, you just go and pull, and I'll just come along and scoop, scoop, scoop. When I get it down there at the end, I'll just dump it. I didn't get a full 55-gallon drum full. I was probably getting about a quarter full, just skimming each time, just skimming a little, making some progress. And my son got to going too slow for my liking. And I hollered at him and said, son, would you please go on? Well, he looked the other way. He used to be looking back. But I believe it made him mad. And when he went on, Brother Gale, that rope was around my ankle. And when I came out on the other end of that pond, I no longer looked like a white man. I'm telling you, I was down in the muck. I was down in the mire. I was tangled up. And I really thought that my leg was going to come loose at my hip. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, my friend, that you and I, as God's people, as we go through this life, we better watch out for the barbed wire just under the leaves. We better watch out for the things that'll tangle us up and take us down and cause us, Brother Lance, to be in the mud that this world wants to drag us into. I'm telling you, God has a book. It'll keep you out of the mud. It'll keep you from getting tangled up. God has a way. God has a school. And He still wants to use you and I in this world that we live in. Deliver us from this fall. It's a school for good soldiers. Listen, I'll give you this, and I'm done this morning. The good soldier, he endures hardness. The good soldier's not entangled. By the way, it'd be a good time to say this. That internet's tangled a lot of people up. You say, preacher, I don't look at anything bad on that internet. That's good. I'm glad for you. But let me tell you this. You can look at too many good things on the internet if you ain't careful. You can get on that social media, and the first thing you know, you've been on there for 2 hours, and you ain't read the Bible 2 minutes. How many's listening to me? You can get there and look at that TV. There's not a man in this. If you like baseball, there is not a man in this room, if you like baseball, that can't sit there and watch it from the first inning to the ninth inning and pray it goes into extra innings. Somebody help me. Amen. If it's an important football game, we can sit right there. Are you listening to me? I'm just telling you, listen, there's nothing bad in and of itself, but when the good thing takes you away from the best thing, it becomes a bad thing. How in the world are we going to explain to God that we could stay awake for a whole ball game and couldn't stay awake for one chapter in the Word of God? How are we going to do that? We're not. There won't be any explaining. He's not going to ask for an explanation. In this school, We need to not get entangled. Not get entangled. Not get entangled. You know what I love about the Holy Spirit? You say, preacher, you got on that internet. You got on that social media. I can't even name all them Twitters and things that they got. And Facebook and what else they got out there. Never mind. Amen. I don't even know. You say, you proud of that? No, it's not that I'm any better than anybody else. Somebody said, you on Facebook? I said, no, I just don't have time. I just don't have time. Amen. It can be used in a great way. I'm telling you, listen, there's a whole lot of people in this world because of that knows, they don't even have to take my word for it, that I have a beautiful granddaughter. I mean, they know it. Amen. They don't even need me to tell them. Can you imagine that? They know. They've seen a picture. Amen. They've not seen a picture. How many knows that's a joke? If you're on it, you know. Amen. They say, looky here, looky here, looky here, looky here. Amen. But if we're not careful, in the school of grace, we'll get tangled up in things in life. Amen. And it'll take us away from the best thing. Take us away from the Lord. Take us away from our love for Him. How many remembers when you first got saved? Can you remember that? How many remembers that? How many remembers that joy? How many remembers that peace? How many remembers that zeal? Honey, they didn't know preacher had to beg you to read your Bible. Amen. Nobody had to beg you to tell somebody about Jesus. You're just so full of Him. It was just like, that's what I often said about Brother Rightly Sally. It was just like he was a big old honey jar and the honey just running out of him all the time. Amen. Sweetest, one of the sweetest men I've ever known in this world. Because he's so full of God. Amen. And then the last thing here in the soldier part. A good soldier enjoys pleasing his captain. Watch this now. How many believes when you're a soldier you have a captain? Ain't that right? I mean, there's all kinds of officers, sergeants and lieutenants. And I can't even remember all colonels and all that stuff. Good stuff. Amen. But in the Bible, Jesus is portrayed as a captain. In Joshua chapter number 5 and verse number 13, the Bible said it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And now listen, he didn't have a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. He was not going on a picnic. He had a sword drawn in his hand. There was a battle. Amen. And Joshua went unto him, and he said, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Let me just say this. That ought to be a question in every one of us's mind before we build any kind of relationship in this world. Art thou for us? Are we on the same team? Are we in the same battle? Are we fighting the same enemy? Or are you for our adversaries? That's a good question. Art thou for us? Or for our adversaries. I'm going to tell you something right now. There are some people down there at the school that know Jesus and love Jesus, and they're for us and they're for our kids. There are some people down there, they're full of the devil. Are you listening to me? They're full of the devil. You say, preacher, I believe you can be a Christian and also teach that we come from monkeys. I don't. If you can't get the first verse in the Bible right, forget about the rest of it. Say amen right there. Oh, my goodness, we're living in a mess. We're living in a mess. The Bible said, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay. I believe this is one of those. I believe the word is theophanies. It's an appearing of the pre-incarnate Christ. The Bible said here, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face, and he did worship. And he said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You'll never find where an angel would allow that. You'll never find. Are you listening to me? I believe that was the Son of God. They said, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. You go over there in the book of Revelation, the angel said, see thou do it not, worship God. But here it was allowed. The captain. We ought to enjoy pleasing our captain. Where'd you get that, preacher? Let this now be done. The Bible said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Brother Brian, that goes hand in hand Brother Mitchell brought that out too, about overcharged, tangled up in the affairs of this life. The affairs of this life have to take place, and we all have different things we have to take care of. But when we get tangled up, when we get overcharged, when we're just so busy doing good things that we don't have time for the best thing, let me just say this. He's really not the best thing. He's the best one. Amen. He is, my friend, our Savior and our Lord and our soon coming King. When we get tangled up, watch what he said here now. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Here's why. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I'm going to tell you something right now. Every one of these youngins will make it just fine. They will make it just fine if they'll head into the schoolhouse saying, Lord, I don't know if I'll make it through the whole year. I don't know if you'll come back before I graduate to the next grade. But Lord, today, I just want to please you. I just want to please you. Then the second day of school, well, Lord, you helped me yesterday. And Lord, today, I would like to please you. How many believes God would help every one of us if we just get up in the morning and say, Lord, it's another day. You've given me a day. It's a gift from God. This is a day the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it. Lord, today, would you help me just to please you? I believe if we do that, amen, we go to work with a different attitude, go to school with a different attitude, go visit the hospital with a different attitude. I believe with all my heart God could use that attitude back to school. I believe we're still in school. I couldn't help but think about some of our seniors when I was preparing to preach. Brother Merv, you've been in this school a long time, but you're still in school, aren't you, brother? God's still teaching you, amen. Brother Lowell's been in this school a long time, but he's still in school. Brother Houston, you've been in this school a long time, but you're still in school. Brother Joe, you've been in this school a long time, but you're still in school. Brother Earl, Brother Gale, amen. These fellas will tell you, we haven't graduated yet. There's still something for us to learn. There's still something for us to share. I still have a place in the army of God. Amen. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. God can take the least, and that sometimes may be the youngest and may not. And he can take the greatest, and he can use every one of us to his glory. Amen. When he gets through working on me, he'll take me home. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, why is he only going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ? Because then he will perfect it. He's performing a work now, but one day he'll perfect it. And we'll be like Jesus. We'll see him as he is. How many's glad you're still in school? Amen. Still in school. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you, God, for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for Timothy. Thank you for Paul. Thank you, God, for stirring our hearts, Lord. Lord, we want to pray for our young people and support our young people. And God, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, even when it's not popular to do right, when it's not popular for them to stand right, God, I pray that you'd give them the courage. Give them the grace, Lord. It's a school of grace, Lord, to stand up for Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the mothers, the fathers, bless the grandmothers and the grandfathers. And God, I pray that you'd take care of our youngins, God, as they go back to school. God, as we're in this school of grace, we pray, God, you'd take care of us, lead us and guide us and direct us and help us, our Lord.